Welcome to the Shantagold Quarterly Production Conference Call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this call is being recorded. I'll now hand the floor to Eric Tsurin, CEO. Please begin your meeting.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing in to today's Q1 2020 production operations call for Shantagold. Just to remind you, Shanta is the third largest gold producer in Tanzania and one of the lowest cost producers in Africa. Today on the line, joining me is Luke Leslie, who is the CFO of Shanta. Now, just before we get started, I thought it'd be worth summarizing the three key points out of Q1, because it's been a busy quarter around the world, suffice to say, and with all sorts of challenges in different places. The three key messages from myself are as follows. The coronavirus has not affected Shanta's production. Our mining and processing continues uninterrupted, and full-year guidance remains unchanged. Number two is that our balance sheet is in the strongest position it's been in over 6 years. Liquidity has increased again this quarter, and we are in very good financial strength. And then final point, number three, on February 10th, we announced the acquisition of Barrick's Kenyan exploration properties, hosting 1.2 million ounces at 12.6 grams per ton. We've said very little about this acquisition, but we are extremely excited about the prospects, and it's on track to close in mid-2020. So with that, let's kick off on slide three of our presentation, and I'll take you through some of the highlights from the quarter. Safety remains very strong and in very good shape. We've had no LTIs during the quarter. We haven't had an LTI since December 2017, and very pleasing to see during Q1 is that our recorded injury frequency rate was zero. Safety is a standout for Shanta and continues to be. Production was uninterrupted in Q1, as I just said, by coronavirus. We produced 20,167 ounces at a cash cost of $630 an ounce, all-in sustaining cost of $833 an ounce. We're on track to meet our guidance of 80,000 to 85,000 ounces at an all-in sustaining cost of $830 to $880. Year-to-date, I mean by mid-April, the hedge book has decreased by 27%, down to just over 27,000 ounces. We did that as we took advantage of lower-priced gold during the quarter and delivered ahead of schedule on some of our deliveries. We aim to be fully extinguished of the hedge book by end of year, which represents about a third of our remaining production for 2020. EBITDA was 75% higher in Q1 than it was in Q4. It reflects an average realized gold price of about $1,400 an ounce in the quarter. Assuming current spot of $1,700 an ounce, EBITDA run rate would be about $20 million per quarter or about $80 million per year. And then finally, as I said just a couple minutes ago, we announced the acquisition of the West Kenya project. The total purchase price was $14.5 million, just under half of which is in cash. We're really excited by this acquisition, which hopefully will close mid-2020, so in a couple months, as it really is the next leg for Shanta in the next 15 to 20 years. Moving ahead to slide four, I'll be brief on this slide, other than to make three points, the first one being that what we saw in Q1 was a reiteration of what we've seen historically: consistent production, consistent delivery on cost containment. The operations are stable and resilient, and we have no reason not to expect similar steady production in the future. Slide five is a slide on our response to coronavirus. Now, there have been a lot of updates from various precious metals and base metal companies in the mining space around the world around what they're doing to respond to the coronavirus. As I said earlier, our operations are uninterrupted. While most companies have made very similar responses, and this includes ourselves, including changing behaviors by examples of social distancing, limiting mine visits, screening, all the things that you would expect a mining company to do, including community involvement, education, the typical responses. Shanta benefits structurally from something which is quite different than most of our peers. Over 99% of our workforce, and when I say that, that's employees and contractors, are Tanzanian. So we do not rely on a fly-in, fly-out workforce, which nearly all, or I would say predominantly most, mining companies do around the world. This creates a very challenging situation. Now, within our own business, because of this structural advantage, we believe we're in a much stronger position. We've also increased our spares. We've taken in place alternative plans for getting our doré to refiners if needed. And we believe we've taken in on board numerous risk mitigation measures that that set us up well to tackle this challenging COVID-19 environment. On to slide six. A couple points here. What you can see, this is our underground production, mining production. And what it shows here is that the underground production performed well during the quarter. We mined 151,000 tons at 4.7 grams per ton from our Bohemia Creek and Ilunga mines. We expect to open up new sources of ore in 2020 from Luika, Shamba Open Pit, BC East Open Pit, which will further increase our operational flexibility. On to slide seven. You've seen this chart before, and we're going through it again. It speaks for itself, really. And while reported net debt during the quarter was essentially flat on where it was at the end of December, that reported net debt number of $15 million excludes $7.8 million of bullion that we had in our gold room on March 31st. That bullion that we had there at the end of the quarter represents just under 20 days of gold production, which hasn't been credited to our cash on the balance sheet. So we really think that despite the $15 million reported, the effective see-through to the net debt is actually much lower. As we reported in Q4, shareholders now represent a commanding 88% of the value of Shanta, which is where we want it to be, if not higher. And by the time we speak in July with our Q2 update, our senior debt with Investec will have been fully repaid. On to slide eight, before I hand it over to Luke to take us through a few slides on the Kenyan acquisition. As we reported in January, our exploration budget for the year has been increased by 65% to $5 million. We continued activities during the quarter in terms of drilling both at the Bohemia Creek and the Ilunga deposits. We made progress in adding new ounces to the mine plan, and we'll make an update in terms of the overall life of mine plan, in terms of the reserves in that life of mine plan shortly alongside the Singida update for the life of mine plan and reserves. During the quarter, we were testing particularly the continuity of mineralization between previously identified intersects at depth. And we will provide results on that during Q2 when the drilling and the results have all been completed. Now, with that, I'll hand over to Luke to take us through the next three slides on the Kenyan acquisition. Luke?
Thanks, Eric. So as Eric already mentioned, on February the 10th this year, we announced that we had entered into an agreement with Barrick to acquire their assets in Kenya. This includes the 1.2 million ounce of inferred resource at the West Kenya project, grading 12.6 grams a ton, which is arguably the highest grade plus 1 million ounce deposit in Africa. Barrick's target exploration for the resource was 3 million ounces, and following a lengthy DD period of almost 12 months, it's a target that our team reiterates. $55 million has been invested across a large area, which remains relatively underexplored still. We're completing a scoping study on the existing resource, and we'll be incorporating the actual cost of long-hole open stoping in the region using our in-house team. Remember, this is the same mining method we use at New Luika, We do this all in-house, but we believe we have a better handle on the cost than anyone else. We expect to announce this scoping study during the summer this year. Move on to page 10. So what was the rationale behind this acquisition? We need to have an angle in M&A. We won't pursue acquisitive growth just for the sake of being bigger. And that's because of all the risks inherent in M&A. So our primary angle here is long-hole open stoping, which I just mentioned, which is the expected mining method for the deposit, where Shanta is at exceptionally low cost. We have a very, very clear view on what the costs are likely to be using our owner-operator team. And we see a great deal of value here being created by Shanta as the operator of the asset. There are a number of secondary angles, including shared geology, proximity to our existing mines, 800 kilometers from Singida, and there's a shared language as well. Please turn to slide 11. I'll briefly summarize Shanta's portfolio upon closing the West Kenya project before handing back to Eric. So we think that the West Kenya project fits very neatly into our portfolio of high-grade and low-cost mines. You've got Nuluika here on the left, which is a cash cow generating substantial EBITDA for the company. We've got Singida, which is construction ready. It will be the next project that we will build, and we're looking forward to updating the market soon. And then we now have the West Kenya project subject to closure. And, you know, assuming exploration drilling, the infill drilling goes well, and we can produce a robust DFS, this project would be expected to come into production after Singida and represent a lot of future value for Shanta. With all the mines online, Shanta could expect to be a plus 200,000 ounce a year low-cost producer. With that, I'll hand it back to you, Eric.
Thanks, Luke. Just wrapping up here on slide 12, we've outlined our 2020 priorities for the year. We've mentioned a number of these over the past. We were on track to meet our guidance of 80 to 85,000 ounces at an all-in sustaining cost of 830 to 880. We talked about exploration and adding new ounces to the mine plan. We expect to be net cash on the balance sheet in 2021, the first half of 2021, and that's after closing out the hedge book and after paying Barrick for the acquisition of Kenya. And then finally, in terms of unlocking value, which is where I think most people should pay attention to in terms of the catalyst for Shanta, post-closing of the West Kenya project, mid-2020, as we said, we'll be updating the economics in the form of a scoping study thereafter, shortly thereafter, and give the market a bit of color as to what this project is really about, what it might look like, and how valuable it might be potentially. And then, of course, in terms of Singida, we've said in Q2 we will provide an update in terms of the reserve, the updated resource, the life of mine plan, and the updated economics, and a further view on how we will finance the Singida project. So we're very excited about that. With that, I'll open it up to the operator and to pass us on any questions, please.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now to enter the queue. Once your name is announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question or 02 if you need to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Justin Chan at Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for hosting the call and for another solid quarter. My first one is just on the operations. If we could do a quick run through. I guess first of all, for the year and in Q1, was there any open pit material, and do you expect there to be any in the year, or should I assume that everything comes from scalping? I guess that's question one. And then I guess related to that, do you, based on where we are in the year, do you see any changes in grade profile that we should be aware of between Q, you know, as we go through Q2 to 4?
Okay. Thanks, Justin. I'll take both of those questions, and thanks for dialing into today's call. I hope you're well. In terms of the first question, the open pit material, we didn't have any open pit mining in Q1, so this was exclusively underground slash blend from our ROM stockpile. The ROM stockpile today sits at about 123,000 tons at, I believe it's about 1.5 grams per ton. So there's plenty of ROM to go around before we have to resume open pit mining. And we estimate that we'll be restarting the open pit mining. We initially thought it would be in July, which is what we had in our budget at the end of last year. But we've since been able to push that back into August. It's our current estimate for restarting the open pits. Again, the open pits are certainly our, I'd call it our marginal feed. You know, it's our highest cost feed. So
yeah,
we're looking to defer that as long as possible.
Okay. And I guess what in the order of tonnage are you looking at for the second half of the year? Is it kind of like 15,000 tons a month or around that? Or
I don't have it exactly offhand in front of me. I can try and dig it up on the call while we take other questions.
Sure.
I would probably, if I had to hazard a guess, it would probably be about 10 to 12,000 tons a month. So roughly, you know, call it 20% of the feed into the plant. But let me check that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. Just on the schedule of the hedge sell down, I realize it's probably going to be a little bit reactive to what prices do, but do you have a high level guidance for how to think of it?
Fair enough. Yeah, Luke, do you want to cover that one?
Sure. So we will finish. We'll sell the last ounces into hedge book in January next year. So the final 3,000 ounces in January. And then the rest, we'll spread it out pretty evenly for the remainder of this year. But we'll take into consideration you know, factors such as debt repayments and so on.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. And then just on, going back a question, I realize I kind of forgot and skipped over it, but is there any grade profile to be aware of through the year, or do you expect to be relatively similar to where you were through the year or a little bit higher?
It's a good question. Sorry, I didn't cover that. It'll be roughly similar. I think our target for the year is 4.15 grams per ton, and I think we did 4.1 grams in Q1. So it just, I mean, as you know, Justin, with this stuff, it literally ebbs and flows as the ore body pinches and swells. And so we try and keep a relatively stable profile into the plant. It just helps with balancing recoveries. That's kind of the target. Now, I've got the number here in terms of the open pit material for August to December. August is the highest month of the period. It's 20,000 tons, and then it dips down between 12 and 17,000 tons for the balance of the months. So the average to use for those 5 months is 17,000.
Okay.
And it's at a decent grade because it's coming from the BC East. So the grade there, we're looking at 2.2 grams.
Okay, yeah, that's quite good. Can I trouble you for the strip on that?
strip.
Have it?
Yeah, I've got it here. Yeah. Strip for those ones, 9.9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and just this is a bit more of a, call it non-quantitative question, but just in terms of Kenya and your planning on that, does the current global situation, I guess, what is your current view on, you know, ability to do work there, the speed that the government can process closing of the transaction? Is there any impact that you're currently mitigating or that we should be aware of, or can you just give an update on that situation?
No, it's a good question. I mean, as you've seen, perversely, I mean, in these, you know, the gold price has responded very well, unfortunately, to an unfortunate situation around the world. So we kind of want to get on with things in Kenya. We're excited by going into the project because of obviously where the commodity price environment is. Now, I think suffice to say, in all countries around the world, things have naturally slowed. Government agencies have obviously been curtailed or slowed. Things just are moving more slowly, but we're reasonably optimistic in Kenya. We've seen positive illustrations of government being able to work remotely. Ministers are still contactable and responding. So, you know, we're optimistic that things will be able to proceed, possibly a bit slower, but this is in terms of ministerial interaction. Now, in terms of actually getting on the ground and doing things, I think the way to characterize Kenya is, you know, it's a small team there now. It's about 15 individuals, 15. And as we get into the drilling phase, we would look to supplement that with contractor drilling teams. So not bringing on anyone permanently internally. Obviously, those plans can change. But I think really, you know, the ability to expand the team is through the drilling contractors, as we need to do more drilling, which we think is manageable.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, I'll play fair and let other people get their questions in, but thanks a lot. And I hope both of you are doing well. Cheers for answering the questions.
Thank you. Just as a reminder to participants, if you do wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. Our next question comes from the line of Sergey Raevsky of SP Angel. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Eric, Luke. Thank you for the presentation. Just a couple of questions. One is on capital costs. So you mentioned $5 million exploration budget for this year, and then you've mentioned in the announcement that it's $3.5 million for development at Bahini Creek and Ilunga. So would it be accurate to assume, say, like $3.5 million somewhat per quarter running through the remainder of the year, and then on top it's $5 million exploration budget? Would that cover it all?
I think that's about right, Sergey. Yeah, the way to think of the exploration is it's mostly capitalized, and that's drilling. So I believe you could probably use about 70% of the $5 million gets capitalized. And then of the $3.5 million of capital that we had in the quarter, that includes the portion of exploration that's been capitalized, and it also includes underground development. So the underground development, Luke can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you can probably use about $800,000 per month. So call it $10 million a year, and then the balance of that capital that gets spent in terms of CapEx is stay in business, small equipment, and exploration.
Sorry, just to clear that out. So you say, so this $3.5 million that is development, you say some of it is already in your all-in sustaining.
No, so we footnoted, so all of the sustaining does not include the development capital, which isn't all. So the $3.5 million of capital that you're referring to for the quarter, that's all capital. So that would include drilling, that would include stay in business, that would include portion to Singida, which gets capitalized, and it would include development and underground capex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Another one is on your bullion that you've got, like $8 million in stock. Is it this those sales? Are they included in your quarterly like sales numbers, or it's in addition?
No, Luke. I believe those ones are. It will come into the Q2 sales. Is that
that's right? That's correct. Yeah.
And do you have like any problems like in getting the gold, the Doré out of the country and refining it, or you don't see any kind of issue with that?
No, I mean, Sergey, it goes without saying there's been obviously a lower frequency of international flights. So we typically used commercial flights in the cargo to ship gold. We've shipped, I think, nearly 200 times now in 8 years. And at the end of the month, what we did, and we ended up kind of keeping all of the bullion at site, and we did one larger shipment at the start of April, which was sent to our refiner in Switzerland and was refined on, I think it was April 6th or 7th. So there's no issue in terms of the refiner. And in terms of getting the gold out of the country, there's no issue. We typically either use commercial or we have alternate plans through private hire.
So this $8 million that you're referring to, that might kind of refer to like this less frequent shipment of bullion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we typically ship every 2 weeks, and we might kind of change that to every 17 days. We can go back every 10 days. There's a lot of flexibility into that, and it's really just managing kind of the logistics cost. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks. And the last one is, so how's the operations been running, so far in the second quarter? Like, is it, like, still, like, full capacity, or, like, basically, are there any kind of interruptions that you've recorded? In the April.
Yeah, no, good question. Absolutely no interruptions. Operations, as we sit today, are actually slightly ahead of the month to date in April. I think we're 10% up on grade in April. It doesn't mean anything for the quarter. These things go up and down all the time. No interruptions. Mining, processing, everything's operating business as usual.
Good to hear. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you for your answers.
Okay.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. And we have a follow-up from Justin Chan at Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Just a quick one on, I guess, liquidity and that situation. Can you give us I realize that they're probably somewhat sensitive discussions, but can you give us a sense of your view in terms of bank flexibility in the event that I would say currently unlikely you did have a production disruption?
Okay, yeah. Luke, do you want to cover that one?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, Justin, it's something that we've spent a lot of time looking at just to make sure that we're prepared. I think the good news is that the longer, the more time that passes by, and Tanzania doesn't look at a shutdown like some of the some of our neighbours, it's a positive thing. Now, having said that, we do have a couple of options. One is we have a $2.5 million working capital facility with Exim, which is our local lender. Now, secondly, we also have convertible notes that we hold in treasury. So if we really needed to, there's $15 million there that we could reissue. So we feel that with those two options and also where we hold our payables at, which is where we've got a bit of headroom there, that we've got enough of a cushion to withstand quite a long period should there be a shutdown.
Okay, thanks. And just the last one, is it possible to forward sell gold and receive payment up front and basically pay interest on that, or
we could look at that. I mean, effectively every shipment we do, there's an element of it because you get a pre-credit. Look, it's something that you could do. You get into some difficulties whereby it gets very expensive if you start selling gold forward that you haven't produced. The costs start creeping up. So there are a couple of groups that do that, but they're very expensive.
I gotcha. Another one on localized currency. Are you seeing any benefits there? And on oil, is there any ability to lock in prices? And is it something you would consider if an opportunity presented itself, or are you happy to sort of let it float?
Eric, you want me to take that?
Yeah, go for it.
It's not something that we are looking to lock in. I mean, part of the reason is, as you know, we've been integrating the grid into the power source. So our power costs are coming down as it is, as we take more and more grid power, and that's the main project for us. We have also managed to renegotiate the supply contracts on the HFO. So power costs will be coming down anyway. So that's something we expect to see on an ongoing basis. It's one of the reasons why we're not looking to also hedge on the oil price.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And just on local labor costs, is there any currency benefit that's noticeable there, or
there's a small amount. I mean, our senior staff are all on dollar salaries. Look, I suppose the good news there is that they all feel much better off in country. So it feels like a pay rise for everyone. Now, lower down the grades, there is a benefit. There's a small benefit.
Justin, I think also in terms of the currency, it's been relatively stable to the U.S. dollar. In fact, I mean, it's been in the last year, I'm just looking at it here, 2300 to 2320. It's been in a very, yeah, very tight range. So it feels like a dollarized currency. There's not much depreciation.
Gotcha. Okay, great. That's I've probably asked more questions than everyone else on the line would have liked. So thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. Okay, there seems to be no further questions at this time, so I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Great. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate your time. And hopefully in 3 months we'll have a different environment with coronavirus. But please do take care of yourself and stay safe. Thank you.
This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.